shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. We were sinners so unworthy. Oh, we were sinners and so unworthy. Still for us he chose to die. Filled us with his Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. Sing that chorus one more time. Oh, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. Our God is good. He's so good. God is good all the time. Give him a clap of praise if you think he's good. Amen. Praise God. I love that first verse. His word is true. That's all that matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what I'm going to believe tonight. So you ready for the word? So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Bob comes. Bring us the word of the Lord. Just pull on the gift. You don't have to pull on the man. Pull on the gift and you'll receive from the gift. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. And lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Oh, holy, holy.
Is that your desire tonight? Let's go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 8. Well, God is good to us, isn't he, to be able to come together and worship again? Try not to get too leaky up here. I just speak to you tonight on a little something I've just been meditating on the last week or so, and just kind of wanted to share some things with you. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. I know a lot of the ministers here, Romans chapter 8. There's some things in that chapter.
Go
So just want to speak some things to encourage you and build your faith up a little bit. But before we go into the scripture, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we know, Lord, as we look out upon the things that are taking place in the earth, that this is an hour of confusion, Lord. And you said that there would be come on the earth a famine in the land for the hearing of the word, and all these different scriptures that we read about how people would be confused all the way from the beginning, from the book of Genesis, how they built a tower of Babel, the tower of confusion. And that would go on through the scriptures all the way to the end time, where people would be so confused and not know which way to turn. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll unlock the door of our confusion, Lord, that we might be able to have an idea of what we're doing here. And Lord, that you might be able to build up our faith, Lord, that we won't just be looking around with blinded eyes, Lord, but that our eyes will be open to the promises of God and to what we're doing here and what's got to take place in our lives so that we can take an exit. Granted, I pray, Lord, that tonight will not be just a vain gathering, Lord, but that you'll let us leave here tonight, Lord, with our faith built up, Lord, within us, Lord Jesus, knowing who we are, knowing the day and the hour that we're living in, Lord Jesus. There will not be, it will not be filled with doubt, Lord, and despair, Lord God, but filled up knowing, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll just feel welcome here tonight, Lord, that your spirit will come and quicken your word, Lord, to us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, that you'll be with us tonight, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 18. I'm just going to speak really on, the theme of adoption runs all the way through this chapter. But I really just wanted to focus tonight on the spirit of adoption and what that is, and kind of motivate you a little bit. And it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So, you know, the denominational world, I just kind of was looking at the different things that different churches today talk about adoption and everything. And they've got, they've got their ideas and things. And thank God for a prophet, because in this day and this hour, we can understand the way that the a lot of times when you look in scripture, it's very confusing. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, the Bible is it's not very difficult to understand at all. And I disagree with that. It is difficult to understand if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Right. You cannot understand the scripture. Right. You look over into the book of Revelation and it talks about all these things, the trumpets and the vials and all this seven churches. What does that have to do with me? What all these different things that in the book of Revelation, and not to mention the things that Paul talked about and the right. Hebrews and things that even Peter said. Paul says many things that are hard to be understood. Right. And so you've got to look with when the Spirit of God begins to open up these difficult things, you can look at it with kind of a different eye, I believe, than the way that the denominational world has taught adoption. The way they look at it is that we've been adopted from out in the world, and God kind of looks us slow down here a minute. It's like a little child. Maybe you go out to Russia or somewhere and find you a child and you bring them in and bring them into your home and you adopt them and you put them into your family, which is true. That's what God does to us. He brings us from out in the world and he places us into the family of God. But you see, that's not the end of the story. And I think that's maybe where looking out into the way the different churches and things today teach that is that they kind of stop right there. And that is not the new birth coming into the family of God and all those things is not the end of the story. There's much more to it than that. And so if you look in the book of Romans chapter 8 takes you down through that process of adoption, the three stages, and it starts off with the spirit of adoption. And so maybe let's just kind of set the stage here. What are we trying to get to? And if we go back to the book of Genesis, Adam, the son of God, was there in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible doesn't tell many details about, it talks about how God came in the cool of the evening and walked with him and all those things. And it talks about how that he was able to name all the different animals and, you know, according to their attribute. This is a sheep because it bears wool. This is a crow because it the attributes of the thing, all the different things of that animal, he was able to speak and call it what it was. And by the message of the prophet, we understand that Adam had, was, his flues were so open up that he was a conduit that God could walk, could talk through. He knew his purpose there. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he could speak to the wind if it got too rainy or whatever, and just say, wind, move back. And he was so yielded to God that God could just use him in whatever channel he wanted him to be. You know, that is what God, Jesus Christ came to die to take us back to, not just so that we could come to church and be in like a club or a lodge or something, but so that God, we could become vessels of the living God, that he could come and live in us and use us in whatever way he sees fit. If he wants to use us like Job did to make a little story with our suffering and all those things so that others can see as an example, then that's the way that our lives will be used. I want my life to be, Brother Branham said, whatever way he wants me to use me, that's the way that I want to be used. If God wants to use me for just like Brother Branham said one time, he might raise up a minister just to preach one sermon. And if that's all that God wants me to do, then let it be. You see, our purpose in life is to be used by God in whatever way he sees fit. And if you can find the plan and purpose for your life and get into that position, get it where God wants you to be, then you're getting somewhere. Brother Branham said, and who is God? He said, then we in fellowship, what Adam lost in the fall, Christ restored in his death. Do you believe that? To bring man back into fellowship with God. Now the church has moved up to that fellowship with God, communion, like Adam had in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, taken away to all sin away, free from condemnation, Holy Spirit cleansing us from all sin. Now you're free to exercise the next step in God. Right. See? Right. Now, I wonder how many maybe tonight sitting here realize that there's a next step. Do you know that next step was kind of prophesied in the life of Jacob when he laid there on that, he laid his head on that rock in the Old Testament and he looked up and he saw a ladder coming down out of heaven and he saw angels coming down, descending and ascending, going up and down on that ladder, and his head was on that rock. Do you know that typifies something? That typifies a journey that you've got to make, a journey of character building, a journey of God building you up so that he can trust you. Putting you into a place where you know what, you're not tossed about wondering what's true and what's not, living in a state of confusion, wondering what, you know, you talk to people today and it seems like, it's like talking to a man that's in prison and you want to help him so bad. I believe that's really drives the ministers and the gospel. The ministers they're preaching to people that are in prison trying to get them out. And the people that are in prison many times don't realize that they're in prison. If they could just realize that the gospel holds the key and open up the door, then they can be free. But you got to take that next step. I remember I preached a sermon years ago about how everything starts with a step. You got to take that first step like Peter did out of the boat. You got to take a step. You got to take your first step toward justification, and then another step toward sanctification. Take another step toward the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then when you're adopted into the family of God, there's more to it. There's more to it. But you see, that being adopted into the family of God, I believe. Now, this is maybe my own personal conviction. This is the most important step. Because how are the seals going to be open to you if you're not born again? How are you going to go up the statue of perfect man if you're not born again? How can you understand any of these things if you're not born again? You must be born again, first of all. And then everything else. Brother Bram said these virtues will be added automatically. And I hope I'm not getting too deep or anything, but everything will take care of itself. We'll say that if you'll just get born again. Because if you get born again, your appetite will change. You'll lose your appetite for the world and you'll start hungering for the things of God. You'll begin to realize over time what you're really coming to church for. That you're not coming to church so much for the music and things, but you're coming to church to feed your soul. To feed it with the word of God. You're not coming to church just to feel an anointing on your flesh. Or on your spirit, but you're coming to church to change that soul on the inside of you, to receive that little divine spark of God down on the inside. You see, you can see this journey all the way through the scripture. You remember King David, what God told David, I took you from out of the sheep coat. In other words, I adopted you. I took you out of the sheep coat and I made you a king. He took him from the sheep coat and made him a king. And along that journey, there was three stages. You know, he was anointed three times. He was anointed when Samuel anointed him. He was anointed by the tribe of Judah and then again by the tribe of Israel. So you can see that process that you and I have to take, the same process that Jesus Christ himself took all the way through the scripture. You can see that in the story of Abraham that Brother Wade's been preaching on. You can see it in the story of Ruth. You can see it in all these types and shadows. And I believe, see, that's why the new birth is so important, because when you are born again, you read the Bible with a new understanding. You begin to look at all these stories and you recognize that God is doing something in your life the same way that he did in these believers. And you're looking at the steps that they walk and you recognize, you begin to identify yourself in the Word because you see yourself in the Word there. You're walking that same journey. You're going down that same trail. You're coming to a place just like Abraham did, where God says, go up and sacrifice your son and a trial and a test to see what your reaction will be. And you've got to come to a place where God can have trust in you and confidence in you enough to give you the car keys, enough to give you that same kind of responsibility that Adam had, enough to give you the opening of the seven seals. We say, well, how can I don't understand the seven seals. I don't understand these great mysteries and things. Well, does God have confidence in you? You to know what to do with the word? Does God have confidence in you now to look at you and see the reaction that you've had to the word so far? Does he look at you and see what you've done with the word? Have you actually received it and done like the Bereans and gone back and studied the word to see whether the scriptures and things that you've been taught are true? Or have you discarded it and said, no, I don't have time for that. I've got time for my soap operas and the Hollywood and all that stuff, but I don't have time to get into the word of God. You see, when you get into the word of God, it will actually transform your mind. It will change you. It will birth the word of God into your life, changing you from the inside out. You've got to be born again. Brother Bram talked about how when you go down to the water and you get baptized, and we believe in scriptural baptism, not in the names of titles, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are just titles. If you would go to the bank and say, well, I need to cash this check, and it said Father on it, that they wouldn't even cash that. They wouldn't want to know what's the name, what person is it? And so that's why we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham taught us that when you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come up, then you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost. You're a candidate. And I want to say tonight that you are a candidate. You're a candidate to receive that first stage of adoption, the new birth. You're a candidate. And all along that journey, you are a candidate to receive that next stage. You're a candidate because in Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It means that tonight, if you don't have the new birth, you are a candidate to it if you'll just receive it. And that's why I want to major tonight on the spirit of adoption, because if you begin to think in your mind, just maybe years ago, as you thought, well, how can I receive the new birth? It's too much for me. Maybe now you're born again, but you begin to think in your mind, how can I receive adoption? It's too much for me. How can the seals be opened up to me? It's too much for me. But tonight, if you can open up your heart and receive the word, you are a candidate for adoption. The adoption is ready for you. And now is the hour of adoption. Now is the time of adoption. It is adoption time. It's time for the sons of God to be made manifest. It's time for the sons of God to step on the scene and reveal themselves, because now is the time. If God called you, you were a candidate for adoption. You know, that first little stage of adoption, and I'm talking about the new birth, it's a special consecrated time. It's a, you know, you think of it almost like in the natural, a little baby being born in the delivery room, coming forth, and there's not a lot of joking around in the delivery room. There's not a lot of laughing and things because it's a somber time. It's a time maybe of crying, of mournful and mourning and all of those kind of things. There's something taking place. Brother Ramey even taught us that you can actually feel that presence of that little soul, that life coming into that baby, and the atmosphere of the room changed as life is coming into that child. Something is taking place. And I believe that's what's taking place in a church, that we don't come to church just to get the ground wet, but we come to church to plant a seed. We come to church to, there's a somber atmosphere, something place where life is coming forth. Coming out of that ground like a little lily out of the mud, something is taking place. And you know, when you plant a seed, that seed goes into the ground and it will produce something. We don't come to church just to get our watering pot out and sprinkle the ground a little bit and rejoice because we have a blessing, a spiritual blessing. We're coming to church to birth sons and daughters of God. We're coming to church to see the manifestation of adopted sons, to see the eyes of people being opened up. That's why we don't laugh and joke around in church. That's why the pulpit is no place for laughing and mocking and things, because there's a birth taking place. There's a birth of the word happening. Birth of adopted sons of God, adopted sons and daughters. Something is taking place, and your eyes open. Do you realize that is the evidence of the new birth to you? Is when your eyes come open. And we believe in this church that you go through three stages. First, you hear about the gospel, and then God cleans you out, and then He puts Himself inside of you. And when He puts Himself inside of you, and when He gives you the new birth, then you can see the gospel for what it really is. That's why you must be born again. We believe that you don't get the new birth just when you believe, because Paul said in Acts chapter 19, he told the Ephesian church when Apollos was at Corinth and he came to the Ephesian church, he said, have you received the new birth since you believed? In other words, there's a process that you've got to go through to get the new birth. And when God gives you the new birth, it opens up your eyes. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to 18 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And the knowledge of Him, in other words, you become to be less confused. Your eyes are open. And you know, people seem to not have a big problem with that when you're talking about water baptism or one God or the fact that there's no eternal hell, because how could there be an eternal hell if the only thing that's eternal is God? And if you're in hell, then that just logically cannot be. God is the only thing that is eternal. But my point is that people have no problem with these little basic things. As you're becoming a new Christian, as you're entering that first stage of adoption, they have no problem with the new birth being understanding at that level. But then when you begin to talk about the deeper things, who is this Melchizedek? Three pools, the seven seals, the seven thunders, the threefold mystery, the book of Revelation, the book of Hebrews. Then we draw back and say, why do we need to understand these things? If the new birth is the understanding, then what will adoption be? If the new birth you had to understand, then what do you have to do when you come to adoption? You don't lay aside your understanding, but you've got to keep moving on up. You've got to climb that ladder. You don't stop understanding. The new birth is understanding, and adoption will be understanding, but it'll be more of it. I don't mean to yell at you, but maybe that'll help you stay away. Brother Branham said, here's what confuses everybody, because Brother Branham said in Satan's Eden, he says, we don't have to understand it. We believe it because God said it so, and that settles it forever, the whole thing. That's the way to believe it. And listen, when you're starting out as a new Christian, you don't understand it. How can you understand it? You just believe it. You say, I believe it. I don't understand why Acts 2:38 says to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I'm moving on with that. Lord, help me that you'll open up my eyes of understanding. You start off believing, and then when you do believe, God will give you understanding, and that will give you the real kind of believing that you really need. How can you really believe if you don't understand it? But when you really do understand, then you know you've got something. And I want to say to you tonight that if you've got that spirit of adoption, if the spirit of adoption is teaching you, you will understand. If you have that eagle nature living on the inside of you, you will understand, because an eagle will understand. You will understand. And if you want to know what the seven seals are and the three pools and all these things, get that spirit of adoption in and open up by the opening of the word. Pile that word on the inside, and he will teach it to you, instruct it to you. You will understand. We were talking recently about the seals and just kind of talking about, can you take a body change without understanding the seals? Can you do it? And I want to say, I want to just kind of flip that statement around. If you're going to take a body change, you will understand the seals. You will understand, because you're an eagle. God has predestinated you to understanding. He has given you, he has equipped you in this hour with everything that you need. He sent a prophet messenger in this day to open the cap of all the hidden mysteries that nobody could understand before. What the seven church ages were, what the seven trumpets were, what the seven seals, the seven thunders, all these things have been opened up so that you will be equipped to come to adoption, to come to a place where your character has been molded into the image of Jesus Christ, where God can look at you and say, I trust him because he's just like I am. Brother Branham said, and it is the rising of the sun. He said, let me straighten a little scripture here for you. I think we're off the phone, but we are still here. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That's St. John 5:24. Now look, I go down the street and just take that literally what it is without the spiritual understanding, not making it say nothing else, but just saying what it is. See the right word there in the Greek in the original, it says, he that understandeth my word. Now to prove that's right, I go down here and here's a drunk coming along the street and with some other man's wife on his arms and cussing and taking God's name in vain and everything else like that. Say, did you hear what that preacher said? Did you? Yeah, I heard it. That don't mean he's got eternal life. See? He that understandeth my word. He that is an eagle. Do you understand how prevalent that kind of thought process is? We think that as long as we've got the Bible playing in the background on a music channel or the gospel radio station, or we have the tapes playing in the background or something, that we can absorb it just by like osmosis or something. But listen, just because you say the statement I believe does not believe that you mean that you believe. You've got to understand what you believe in. You got to know, listen, all of these things that I'm talking about here, that taking you up the statue of a perfect man, taking you up into adoption, into the capstone, into that old corner of the land that Brother Dale's been preaching about. All of those things are for your understanding. Brother Branham said in the Easter seal, he said it's the Holy Spirit coming down to quicken, make alive those people that's foreordained of God to be in the rapture. Notice, that is, if he is a true eagle, he will understand the message of the hour if he's a true eagle. Now, the little eagle probably in the barnyard was eating all right, but he knowed it wasn't just exactly right. But then when he heard the truth and he received this truth, and then he goes on, and you know, a lot of times when you say these kind of things, it can scare the young people. It can make them think, well, I've got to do something. Now I've got to work harder. And that's true. You have to read your Bible. You have to pray. You got to get serious with God and everything. But the point, the main kind of effect that I want to communicate tonight is God has equipped you. So don't be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given you the spirit of a sound mind. He's given you everything that you have need of. He's given you the spirit of adoption. And do you know why he started you off with the spirit of adoption? Because the spirit of adoption is going to bring you to adoption, to a place where God can trust you. And Brother Bram said in the Easter seal, just moving on down to paragraph 90, he said, paragraph 92, but he that understandeth, he that knoweth his place in this hour, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, eternal life, shall not come into the judgment, but has already passed from death unto life. And let me say that again in paragraph 93. When this spirit has found you, the individual has come upon you. It is the potential of your eternal inheritance that God thought of you and made you for you before the foundation of the world. It is your potential. Like if you ask me for an oak tree and I give you an acorn. Now the life for the oak tree is in the acorn now, but you have to wait till it grows up. In other words, you put a seed in the ground and after a while, it produces a great big tree. Does that sound like you put a little corn of wheat in the ground and after a while, you got another corn of wheat. You plant an acorn in the ground and I don't know what kind of seed would grow a bride tree. But after a while, you've got a bride tree because it comes up and at the top of the tree, you know, all these different types and things that Brother Branham talked about. The top of the tree is the best fruit and the top of the tree can see the light of the rising sun and all those kind of things. Because look, we're following the same pattern that is repeated all down through scripture. Abraham and Ruth and Elijah and all the different things as they journey from starting off something like Abraham saying, just hearing the voice of God speak to him and say, turn and go with me. And it leads up all the way until finally he's confronted with God in flesh walking to him. And you and I are not going to see God in flesh. Let's just lay it. I'm just going to preach. You and I are not going to see God in flesh like walking up to you like Abraham did. But you're going to see God veiled in a bride. You're going to see God veiling himself in you and I coming to a maturity. God is not going to, the rapture is not going to come for a little baby church. It's going to come for a mature church that has heard the word and become the word. And that's why we need a prophet, do you see? Because all of these denominational systems could produce born again children, but they couldn't give you all the opening of the word enough to take you, to give you a body change, to give you that leap of faith, to overcome, to jump over that wall of the troops, to jump over the wall of death and get out of here. But you see, he's given us the spirit of adoption. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In other words, when a little child is born, he don't have authority. He does not have access to the bank account. There's no difference between a child and a servant that's working in the house. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. In other words, he's being raised up right. And I want to kind of share this little comparison with you. And just go ahead and lead that up. You know, many of you fathers here, if you would look at your sons and just kind of think, meditate within yourself, would I allow my son or my daughter to have access to my bank account? That would be a very scary proposition, wouldn't it? And you would be daresent to do that, to open up your bank account, to give your checkbook to your little, your young son or young daughter, even when they grow older. Sorry, Zach, but I'm afraid I would be a little bit scared, worried about giving you access to my bank account. And you know, a lot of times parents will talk about these things and they'll say, well, you know, they talk about their son, they saved up all this money and then he went out and bought something that seems so foolish. Or whatever, because looking at it from a more mature perspective, the father is looking at that and saying, I don't trust my child. If I were to open up my bank account to this child for them to make a wise decision in every aspect with my, there's a lot of danger there. You can come back and the bank account be drained. I'm talking about in the natural now. You look at it the next week and all of a sudden you've got all these overdraft fees and now you're in a real fix. That would cause all kind of discord in your home. But see, God knows what he's doing. He knows how to raise up children and he gives you a tutor to bring you to the place where he can trust you and knows that if he gives you all of this access to his bank account, so to speak, that you're not going to use it foolishly. For example, if you had the same kind of access that Adam did to just move a mountain or move a tree or whatever, what's to say that you wouldn't drop a tree on somebody's head because you get real mad with them? You get real, I'm maybe being a little bit comical or whatever, but you see my point. God is raising us up so that he can trust us. And the tutor that he gives us is the Holy Ghost. Now, that story that Brother Branham uses is in the East, they would give a tutor. They would assign a tutor to raise up that child so that when they came to a place where the tutor goes back and reports back and says, well, the child is, he's acting just like you, Dad. He's acting just like you. Then in that time, a special ceremony of adoption, the child would be taken to the side and robed and all of these kind of things would be done to it, to kind of go through a ceremony that now I've got my trust in this child. And you know, you can think almost, we're listening to that story, that we're talking about different people in the type. There's a tutor and there's a father, but the father himself in the spiritual has come himself to teach you and instruct you in the way that you should go. God himself is living inside of you, instructing you according to your word. Let me keep reading this. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, he wants you to be adopted. Now, you've heard many times evangelists will come through and they'll say, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want it and all these kind of things. And I think now is the time to evangelize a little bit higher. God wants to adopt you more than you want it. You begin to think it's beyond you and all these kind of things, but God wants to give you access to his bank account. But you got to start off as a baby. You know, Paul, when he began to instruct the Corinthians, he said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, he said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You begin to see kind of the requirements for adoption. The requirements are that you got to have a different kind of character. You can't be pointing at churches and saying, well, we're better than them, and envying among yourselves. And you know, it's easy to say we should not be doing these kind of things. We should not be doing that. But you know, the antidote, the vaccine that God has provided to get rid of all that our bad behavior is the Word of God. And, you know, we can beat one another and all those kind of things, but the Word of God is what will actually change us and mold us into his image. And he said, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? And Paul could speak in this way to the Corinthians. He had to speak to them as little babies, because they could not understand these deep things of God. They could not dip their toe into the deeper waters because they were not quite pressurized to that yet. But when he spoke to the Ephesians, he talked to them in a little bit different language. He was able to speak to them in a way like in Ephesians chapter 4, where he said that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? He explained to them why God put those gifts in the church, that we're not just coming to church just for a show, but we're coming to have our character perfected. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Another, let me pause right there. We were coming over and one of my younger kids, I don't mean to call you out, but I was just asking, do you know what adoption is? And they're like, I don't know. I don't know. So I want to pause so that everybody kind of has a baseline. What is adoption? Adoption is when God sees that you are a mature Christian and you match up with his word. You start off with a baby. And you grow up like an acorn to a tree, like Abraham to looking at the Son of Man. You start off, so he's saying that we henceforth be no more children, because God doesn't want us to be little babies, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you realize how important that is? Now, in this day and hour, we're looking out, and people are so confused that they don't know what the mark of the beast is. They don't know whether they should be concerned about a chip in the hand or not. They don't know whether they should be concerned about what people are telling them or not. Because, listen, the antidote to confusion is the Word of God. And the only way that you cannot be confused in this hour is to come to a position and a place in the Word that no matter what the devil throws at you, he doesn't know what to do with you, because you are not confused. Even the Bible says the whole world will be deceived by the beast and all of those things. The whole world will be deceived except for that small little group of the elect. There will be a little group that will not be deceived. Why? Because they will be the Word walking on the earth. And you see, this whole process of growth, don't get tired on me now. Arise, awaken from thy slumber. This whole process is to build your character, and not our own character, but the character of Christ in us. You know, that'll change your perspective about church. Because church is not for babying your feelings. Church is for character development. Church is to build up not little hothouse plants, but to build a plant that can stand the wind and the rain and the dust storms and all of the things that the devil can throw at it. Just build up a plant that maybe if they put you out of your house and put you out on the street, you'll say, I'm standing with God regardless. Maybe like Job, when God took away his whole family and everything he owned, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is the kind of plant that God wants to mold us into in church. A plant with character, a godly Christian character molded in us. You know, I was thinking about, I was looking at all the different kind of tests that Brother Branham went through, and kind of compared with the different kind of tests that that Abraham went through and all the different ones in Scripture. Because as God is building our character, He's testing us to see what we're going to do with His Word. Do you know, I believe that when Naomi told Ruth to go down and lay at the feet of Boaz, that was a little test. How strange that would be. What's he going to think about me? Go lay down at the feet of Boaz and then see what's going to happen in the middle of the night? Nobody else is out there? What a strange thing for Abraham to have to go up there and raise his knife up above Isaac's head and put him up there on that altar. What a strange thing. And you know, there was a lot of tests in Brother Branham's life. And the reason I want to bring this out tonight is God is going to test you. And when you fail the test, don't give up and just lay down and give up. But get up, get back up and keep going again. Because there's a lot of tests that Brother Branham failed. God told him to go to Durban, South Africa, instead of Johannesburg. And all those preachers got around and said, one of them said, do you say that are you the only one that God speaks to? And he said a little argument broke out on the side of the road. And that was what a test to see what he would do. And he failed that test and he got deadly sick because of it. Told that little white lie to the IRS auditor when he called. And he said, he stepped outside and he said, told his wife, tell him I'm not here. Technically that was true. And he felt so bad for telling that little white lie that he went and told the IRS auditor, I apologize. He made it right. He failed the test, but he made it right. And in the end, he looked better to that IRS auditor because he humbled himself and apologized. You know, the angel told him, when he explained the first and the second pull, you explained it. He said, I'm so sorry. I messed everything up. He failed. He failed the test. But you know, he picked himself back up again and he moved on. And the next time he didn't fail that test, he kept that third pull to a secret to himself. Think about that time when the bull came and right in the middle of that pen and he spoke out in love to the bull. Cause God's training him up. He's training him up just like he trained David up, where he gave him a bull and a lion. And he did all that before he got to Goliath, so that when David got to Goliath, he would be ready to confront that big enemy. He was ready. And so God was training up Brother Branham and speak to this bull, speak to the yellow jackets. And he told him, I didn't mean to disturb you. My, if we could speak to one another in those words instead of bopping each other on the head, if we could speak to one another like he spoke to those yellow jackets, I'm sorry, instead of riling up in anger. And then those two people that were making out in the church service as the word was going forth, and it was what a test. Whatever you say was going to happen. He's beginning to bring him into a speaking condition, testing whether his character is the right kind of character or not. Whatever you say, and he says, I forgive you. My goodness. I wonder tonight if you were to inspect your own self and inspect your own life and the way that you react to your children and the way that you react to others in church and your loved ones. Do you have that same kind of character that, you know, maybe he had a right to say something harmful to those people that were disrupting the church service? It was not a good spirit making out in there. You think, well, many times we think we've got a right to just slap one another, but he spoke in love because he had that kind of a godly Christian character moving up to brotherly kindness. And then God begins to trust him to where he can say, speak, and a squirrel will run out on a limb. Speak up on the top of that mountain, and the wind, the snowstorm will move back, because he's coming to a place where God can trust him. If God can't trust you, how is he going to pour the 9 spiritual gifts into the church if you don't know what to do with them? Will you run all over the place if somebody begins to speak in tongues and maybe they don't say the right thing? Maybe something gets carried away a little bit. What kind of character do you have to know how to discern right from wrong? That kind of character only comes from the word, and God is producing the right kind of character in us. You know, a lot of times I kind of want to bring this out too. We think of the new birth, if you don't have it, as such a great mystical thing that is so far away from you. And then when you get the new birth, adoption seems like such a great mystical thing, like it's so far almost out of reach from us. Like we think of Jesus on the Mount Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah standing there, and a voice from heaven speaks out and that typing the adoption ceremony. We think of Brother Branham going up on that mount and being called up in a constellation of angels and all of these great things happening. But I wonder if it's really just as simple as you coming to your place and knowing what that is, coming to a place where God can trust you, and maybe there's not any emotion at all. Maybe it's just as simple. You know, in the book of James, book of Acts, it tells a little story about how James was one of the first apostles to die, and they left him in the grave. He was not raised from the dead or anything. But you turn over to, I think it's Acts 19 is Cornelius, anywhere, maybe Acts 10, somewhere toward the end. And there's a mention of a little woman named Tabitha, and it says her name was Dorcas, which means dove. And you would think that James would have been raised from the dead for his contribution to the church, but here was a little woman who, it says, had done many alms deeds. This little woman who sat at home and she just sewed and she made goods for people. Now I'm saying something profound here. You think that you've got to be a great big somebody to come to adoption, which is not the case. You can come to a little place, a place of adoption, just being a little housewife, just ironing your husband's clothes, doing something for the Lord, doing something for his kingdom, because his word is being revealed in you. And this little woman, she was just a little seamstress doing what seemed so inconsequential. And yet all the saints got together and they began to pray, and she was raised up from the dead. And it said in the book, because of her many alms deeds, because, listen, God valued her so much because of her place that she had in the body of Christ. And you think your place is worthless because nobody maybe knows what you're doing. Nobody looks at you and recognizes the place and the position that you have, because it might be something where you're just, maybe in this day and hour, you're just making a mask for the nurses in the hospital. Maybe you're just sewing patches on your husband. Maybe your husband is a minister and all you can do is just patch up his clothes. But you're doing something that God recognizes. You're manifesting the kind of character that God wants to see. That's the kind of person that God wants to mold. Listen, the people that are taken in a rapture might not be the great big ministers and things that are preaching all around the earth, but it might be a little widow woman with a dirt floor in the middle of Africa somewhere that God comes and says, I see the kind of character that I want to see. It might be somebody that you would overlook because God is molding something in secret. Adoption is when he comes and takes you to the side and gives you a little ceremony. So just you and God alone. God is doing something that maybe the rest of the world overlooks, but yet God is molding something in you. He's molding in you a gold tried in the fire. That's why we've got to be tested and molded. That's why we've got to come to church, because God is molding us just like they made that candlestick, the 7 golden candlestick in the Old Testament. It was beaten gold. And I believe that they beat it with love. They took that mallet like the ministers are doing today, and they would beat maybe with, just to kind of dramatize it a little bit, beat and every swing, they would say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And they would turn it over and say, thou shalt honor thy father and mother. And they would turn it over, thou shalt not bear false witness. Do you see, that's how you're being beaten when you come into the house of God, being beaten so that God can look into that gold and see his own reflection. When he can look at you and see his own reflection, then that's when you're a candidate for adoption. That's when you're at a place where God can begin to open up these deeper mysteries to you, begin to take you to the place where he's ready to pour out his spirit into the church and change your body. I hope this is not too deep. I hope this is as simple, so simple that if you're 5 years old, you can get it. That God wants to bring you to maturity. That the new birth is not the end of the story. That when you're born again, there's more to the story. When you're born again, God, now you're equipped for God to put his character, his life in you to see you withstand the trials. You see, do you realize that God is building, he's building a body. He's building a bride. He's building you up, because the 1 Peter chapter 2 says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. This seems like you're changing the story, Brother Bob. Now you're talking about building, you're talking about plants, now you're talking about building, but it's all the same story. God starts with a little brick in your life, and he lays brick after brick after brick until he's built you up. As lively stones are built up a spiritual house, he's building up a place where he can come and tabernacle. Because he wants to fill every fiber of your being. He wants to fill you up so completely that it changes your mortal being and takes you into rapture. He said, in holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In other words, shall not be confused. You will not be confused. But you start off with that chief cornerstone, just like you start off with a little acorn, just like you start off with a little mustard seed, and it grows into a great big tree. And the problem, though, is that God is waiting on you. I'm talking about building now. I know I'm kind of switching the story a little bit. Bear with me. You know, when Daniel, there in chapter 9, he got a revelation that they were coming out, that it was right there in the 68th year, and he got a revelation that they were fixing to leave Babylon, leave the bondage of that confusion system, and come out and go where? To the promised land, that they were going to come out and go back to the God's promises. And there was a lot of things involved in that. So a couple of years later, they had, after he got that revelation, the Cyrus drained the Euphrates River and snuck up under the wall, and the Jews, there was a turnover, a political turnover, and the Jews began to go out. And as they went back. First, Zechariah began to build the temple or Zerubbabel, and he was accompanied by the two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai, because you see, they had caught the vision of what that prophet had said that they were supposed to do, return back to the promised land, return back to the original faith, go back to what they had originally taught, and they caught the vision of what Daniel had said for them to do. But, you know, all these troubles and things assail them, and over time the things were left off, and after a while then Ezra and Nehemiah, then they kind of took up that mantle and they began to rebuild the walls, because see, Daniel had told them that the walls would be rebuilt in troublesome times. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? It was up to them to fulfill that vision. Daniel had prophesied that the walls would be rebuilt, that they would go back, but it was up to them to actually go on that journey and rebuild the walls. And they ended up having to rebuild the walls with a trowel in one hand, laying mortar, and with a sword in the other hand. And you know, I believe that what we're looking at is the same thing happening now, because we are living under the vision of a prophet that has restored to us the original faith. But now it's up to us to go back and rebuild the wall. It's up to us. God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on God, because God has given us everything that we need in this hour to go back to the promised land, to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to get everything ready. Ready so that God's presence can come and live inside of it again. Do you know, that's why Brother Branham preached that sermon, the blushing prophet. It's because when Ezra got back, he looked at the predicament of the people and he realized that the people, just like today, now, I wonder if you could look with spiritual eyes at the predicament of the people and wonder if they actually realize what they're supposed to be doing. Ezra looked at the situation and he saw that the people had united themselves with all of these strange wives. In other words, they were taking all these strange doctrines. They were uniting themselves with these strange doctrines, and they hadn't let go with the notion that you don't need adoption. They hadn't let go of the notion that you don't need, why do you need to understand the seven seals? They hadn't let go of all this kind of stuff. And Ezra was so anguished in himself that he fell down on his feet and he began to wail and cry. And he said, the Bible says in Ezra chapter 9 verse 6, and he said, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. And I believe it will make any born-again Christian blush to look at the situation where you see what should be born-again believers saying, I don't believe that I've got to understand what the prophet of God labored to preach and labored to lay out there for the people to understand. I don't believe that we can profit by this, that it's so far out of our reach. I believe that would make anybody blush. You see what... What it almost equates to, really, is Jacob with the birthright. Do you know your birthright is to go back into the promised land? And to say, I would rather have a bowl of lentils than what God has given me, is denying your birthright. It's almost tantamount to the same thing as that the believers did when they got to Kadesh Barnea. I would rather just stay in my own predicament than to accept the word of God and to dive into the word that he's given to us. Brother Bram said, and hear ye him, he said, how shameful it must be as Ezra the prophet blushed before God, that the Holy Spirit must have to blush before the Father of the conduct of his children. How sin has crept into the church. The things that goes on in the church today that we will call ourselves the church of God. I don't want to hurt you now, but I want to help you. And Brother Branham in 1956, and hear ye him, and he says that I wonder how the Holy Spirit is, how it must, as a prophet of old, blushed when he stood in the presence of God, when he brings the character and the conduct of the church in this day. How he must blush when he stands before the Father and says, oh, they're all separated. They're acting like the world. They're marrying and giving in marriage. The women, and he goes on and so forth. You realize the character that the church is manifesting is supposed to be the character of the Word of God. That kind of character only comes by hearing the word. I know y'all getting tired. I'm trying to wind up here. Brother Bram said, and hear ye him again. There's so many times we preached on hear ye him, and many times he would preach on Ezra. Why? Because to come to a place of adoption, you've got to get past all these things that Ezra was looking at. People living wrong and doing wrong, and you could almost get sidetracked and looking at somebody that you think should be far along and think, well, I'm good off. I'm just as good if I just do like that person. And that's what Brother Branham, a lot of times he would really be hitting on is looking at one another. We use one another as our example instead of using the word of God as the thing that we should be looking at. Even so much as using like Brother Branham. Do you think that your adoption experience may not come like his did, where you're caught up in a constellation of angels? It may be as simple as that little Dorcas, little Tabitha, sitting there doing what she's supposed to be, finding her place in the word. Do you see? Brother Ram said, and hear ye him. He said, God makes men different, and he has diversities of gifts and sends them to his church. But we just cramp down on one, and there you go. You see, you don't get the wisdom of the Spirit. That's the reason God can't place us into the position where we should be in his body. For to one is given this sort of a gift, to another this sort of a gift, to another sort of a gift, and so forth, but all the same body. But we want to be just exactly like the other one. You can't do that. You must use the wisdom of the word. The Bible's what our blueprint is. But you see, he's equipped us in this hour. He's given us the spirit of adoption. And it's called the spirit of adoption because God's goal, his purpose, is to bring you to adoption, to a place where he can trust you, to a place where, like, you know, Jesus was taken up onto that mountain, and the Bible says that voice said, hear ye him, a place where God can use your lips, just like he used Jesus' lips. The musicians can come on forward. Because you were meant to come to maturity. The spirit of adoption is working in you, and God has more for you than just a new birth. There's more for you than just to be born again. You know, we're not standing in the rain like Ezra was when he opened up the law to the people, and they began to be anguished and began to repent and wonder what was wrong in their lives. But I believe that our hearts can still be stirred up within us. Even though we're not standing in the rain, still we're standing before a fearful requirement. Because in this day, we've got to come to adoption.
Glory.
We've got to come to a place where God can trust us and can use us. That's why I believe that now is the hour of adoption time. It's adoption time. If there ever was an adoption time, now is that time. You look out on the things of this world and think something's got to happen. Something's got to take place. I believe that God has given us everything we need. Let's stand to our feet and just worship the Lord and just praise him. Let's sing that song, Brother Louis. It's the evening time.
Preparing now for her Lord to meet. All things are ready now, the bridegroom I hear. He that hath an ear
That means it's harvest time.
This is a evening time. It's later than you think. hearing now. He's waiting on us, the Lord, to meet. Just praise him now. All things are ready now. The bridegroom I hear. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here. Let's sing it again. This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is preparing now for the Lord to meet. All things are ready now. The bridegroom I hear. He that hath an ear to hear, the evening time is here.
Amen. That's profound. The bride is preparing now, but all things are ready. It's like a table has been spread for us, and all you have to do is just come to that table and eat. A great big smorgasbord. Like, y'all heard that dream that Zach had where he said he just sat at a table and all kinds of good food set before him. And he just ate and ate. And it was like he didn't get full. He just kept eating and eating. And I believe that's what the bride is doing. Because all you got to do is eat. Eat and eat. And we've been eating for a long time. We've been eating for a time where now, I believe, all things are ready now. All things are ready. Let's sing it one more time. If you have a need, you can receive it right there in your seat. Whatever you have need of.
It's later than you think.
But if you need somebody to pray with you, we're here to pray with you.
The bride is preparing now for the Lord to meet. All things are
evening time is here. It's a great day, great opportunity. Glad to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have our brother with us here, and his brother. It's his son, really, but we're all brothers in the Lord. But we're glad to have Brother Bill back with us. He's been here before, and I also just greet him and tell him welcome, because that's the one thing that we all want to do is be in the Lord. Remember, tomorrow now, 2 o'clock, will be these funeral services for Brother Collins, wonderful brother that he's been with us a long time in Alden. He's got a church there. And just pray for the family, because that's the main thing. Pray that the Lord would bless them, give them comfort, and take care of them and everything. All right? Anybody anything to say before we go? We have so many changes lately till we have to get everything in order to keep it up with the world.
I feel like Abbott and Costello. Who's on first and what's on second?
Yeah.
Some of you younger people, Google that. Some of you older people know what it is. But some have a concern about Sunday between services, eating. What we're going to do is, if you want to go out and eat, that's fine. I'm sure they're open in the drive-thrus. But you can come back. What we're going to do is we're going to set the white tables out underneath the awning so we can do our social distancing, because it does get kind of crowded in between services. But we want you to stay, but we will have those out here and the picnic tables. It's going to be 83 degrees, so it won't be so bad. We may can put some fans out there or something, but we'll work on that. But we're going to do tonight, remember, when we get ready to dismiss, one row at a time. I'll help you on the way out as they're singing. But God bless you. Thank you for coming. And thank you for doing your social distancing. And we're just going to pray that that this thing will all be over real quick. Because as Bob said, it's the bride of Jesus Christ. It's why everything's happening because of us. Amen. Everything is happening because the bride's still here. And God's getting us ready and moving us to get us out of here. So whatever it is, be it virus, it doesn't matter to me. I just, one day we ain't going to have to worry about money, politics, and rules. Because we'll all be in glory and we'll all be eternal and this will all be over. And I was thinking about that Brother Collins today. He fought a fight. He won the race. He don't have to hurt no more. He ain't got to worry about no virus in that dimension. He took it. He took all that he built, as Brother Bob was talking about. He took every bit of that that God gave him inside, and he just stepped over into another dimension. Couldn't take his human body with him because it wasn't time yet. So now we're going to honor the human body and put it in the grave. The Bible says we plant them in corruption, but God's going to raise them in incorruption. But God will not raise them until we get ready. You and I are the voice of that resurrection in the world today. So you just keep praying for each one. Pray for the world that this thing will be settled at least for a little while so we can get back together. But thank you for distancing. Sure enough, wash your hands. Those of you that are going to a funeral tomorrow, I would suggest bringing a mask just in case. We're going to have service outside. But still, there'll be a lot of older people there. Make sure that we completely are safe. I don't want to provoke anything, and you know I know you don't either. So God bless you. Like I said, everything's Sundays, 10 o'clock. I'll be doing my Sunday school class at 9:30. But at 10 o'clock, we'll do regular service. No little children's this Sunday. We'll just kind of hang on and see. We may do it the next Sunday. Okay? So, but God bless you. And we're also looking now at maybe doing a youth thing on the last Saturday of this month. So just kind of keep that in your heart. And we can definitely social distance from that, but just keep that in your pray. We need to pray more now than we ever prayed before. Pray without ceasing. But all mine's clear. We got that Sunday, 10 o'clock, regular service. You can listen on 107.1 outside. They've got that. Josh has got both thumbs up. So that's working outside. If you want to sit out in your car and listen, you'll have a radio preacher. Bob was radio preacher tonight, so we'll have a radio preacher. Daddy's always wanted to be a radio preacher, so I could let him be one. So. Hello, world. But anyway, so that's an option if you don't want to come in the building. It's still there. They've set that up. Josh and Terrence's brother-in-law, Richard, and I couldn't think of your name. They've got that set up for you outside so you can listen through the radio. So thank you for everybody doing what they're doing. Sister Anna Marunga, thank you for fixing all that food to send to the Collins family. Amen. She took that upon herself, so God bless her for that. And just keep the Collins family in your prayer. So if you want to dismiss, go ahead and dismiss, and then I'll walk you out.
Just remember Brother Thomas. We'll still find out something later more about everything going on, but remember, pray for him, okay? Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word that we've heard, and we pray that it would dwell within our soul, our being, and that we would become one with you. We ask you to just be with each one. Be with Brother Hal there, Lord. Reach down, touch him, and let everything be all right. Be with the Collins family tomorrow and the services and things, and just bless each one. Take care of everybody on the way home tonight. Give each one a safe journey. Thank you for the word that we've heard. Yes, and we just put it into your hands, and it'll be a finished product in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.